Today's shiur will be beginning Maseches Bava Basra, the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Two lines from the bottom is the point from which today's shiur begins, but you notice that we're in the middle of a discussion, as is witnessed by the fact you have the geometric forms, the triangles, appearing already before. So in order to pick up where we left off, we have to backtrack a little bit. Mention Rav Dimi Minahar Da'az Din. He was found in the firebox in the upper part of the page. We explained that the significant marking known as the firebox is put in when such a shita will be preoccupying us for more than an omid of Gemara, and in this case our discussion surrounds Rav Dimi and lasts till the Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. His din states that one who sells a house, if he writes into the contract, "I'm selling you the house, me'umka veruma," including the depths and the heights, that expression, even if written in, does not include pits, boros, that are present in the house. In order to have a pit included, Rav Dimi said, you have to add an additional expression, which was kni loch mitom ara viad rum rakia. The geometric form of the triangle, which is a standard series marking, we've said in the past that in the marking system that we're using, there is no inherent significance to any one given form. All the forms play the same role, they just create a sense of series that exists between different items. The reason that the markings are varied from time to time is because they represent different series. In this case, the triangle, second line from the bottom, pointing up, serves to signify a support for Rav Dimi. And this you can see by glancing at the side where the marking key under the heading Mivneh exists. And we're noticing that as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see what the Gemara attempts to present as a support to Rav Dimi. The Gemara continues, Toshma. We have a Tanaic source, and that we know, as is indicated by the fact that you have a section framed off. Those pieces of Gemara in the marking system that have frames around them are Gemaras, or sources, they're Tanaic sources. We're talking now about a person who sells a house, and he does it in a Stam fashion. He did not write into the contract Umka Varuma. The source says, Velo Eshagag, Bizman Shieshlo Maike Govoya Asoro Tvochim, that though one is selling a house, the sale does not include a roof that has a fence around it of 10 Tvochim height. We just described a case that's bistam, a sale of a house, unspecified. Ve'i salka daitoch bistamo koni umko veruma. If one were to think that without writing umko veruma in a document, one gets the umka veruma, one gets the rights to the depths under the house and the height, the airspace above the house. Ki gavoa asorot tfochim mayhave. What difference does it make if the roof is enclosed by a fence of 10 tfochim? He should get that also. So, what do we see? We see that in order to get the umka veruma, to get rights of airspace over the house, you'd have to write it in. Bistamo, you don't get it. That is what Rav Dimi Minahar Da said. The Gemara rejects this as a support, and that we can see as indicated by the fact that the triangle has flipped over with the point facing down here on the second line from the top of Samach Dal Amud Aleph. The Gemara explains, Kevon de Gavoa Asor Tfochim Choshiv. Since the fence around the roof in this case is such a height of 10 Tfochim, that means that the roof is of significance in and of itself, independent from the house. Hence, it could very well be that if a house is sold bistamo, namely umka varuma is not written in, one does in fact get the right to dig under the house, the umka, and airspace over the house as well. However, if he wants to get an additional area of significance, for example, a roof with a fence around it of 10 tfochim in height, then he would have to add an additional loshon explicitly written into the shtar, like umka varuma. That having been said, though, we don't have a sort to Rav Dimi min Ahardo, because what we're seeing is that even if something is sold stam, one would get the umka varuma without it having been written in. That's not in concert with what Rav Dimi Nardo said. As the Gemara goes on, notice the triangle is going to be following the same direction that the most recent triangle followed, namely the point is facing down. That means we're encountering a piece of Gemara that's going to be a question on Rav Dimi, something not in support of Rav Dimi. Up till now, as we viewed the markings, these triangles, they were flipping back and forth. Namely, point up was support, point down, rejection. Point up, support, point down, rejection. As far as the Gemara is concerned, at this point, we rejected a support, and now we're going to proceed with a question on Rav Dimi. Omale Ravino l'Ravashi. To Shma. Notice we have an inverted triangle as well in the space between the Rashi and the Gemara with a little Ta Shma Tof Shin written in. This is a long marking. In this case, we'll call it a long question marking. And that's indicated by the vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line are part of the question. Omar Le Ravino Le Ravashi Ta Shma. The Omar Reish Lakish. This is a quote from the Gemara on the previous daf. Reish Lakish said, on the heels of a din concerning the sale of a field by a Ben Levi to his friend, and the Ben Levi stipulating, I am selling the field on condition that you will give me your Maaser Rishon, and the Gemara had said that such a condition works, even though it sounds like Ein Odom Makne Dovah Shalobo Liolam. Nevertheless, such a condition works because there is something being retained in the sale by the Ben Levi. He's retaining 10% of the land on which the 10% will grow. Hence, the growth of the produce is in the Rishus of the Levi himself, so that we thereby get around the problem of Dover Shalobo Leholam. And on that, Reish Lakish made the following comment. Zos omeres hamocher bayis lechavero, the omar lo almenas shediuto heolyono sheli, diuto heolyono shelo. This also was part of the discussion of the Gemara on the previous daf on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, where a person made a stipulation in a sale which seemed to be unnecessary. He said, I'm selling you the house on condition that the fenced-in roof remains mine. And Reish Lakish ruled, well, that condition works. V'amrinon, and the Gemara had asked, L'mai hilchasa, what legal bearing or what legal outgrowth is there of having said that this ruling works? When the stipulation was obvious and in fact unnecessary. So So we have two explanations to that. The names are underlined here. Rav Zvid Omar, Shim Rotza Lahoitzi Bo Zizin Motzi. That if the seller wants to attach protrusions to his roof over the airspace of the chotzer that he just sold, in other words, the seller wants to retain airspace rights that he had before he sold the property, he wants to retain those same rights that he had before, he is able to, and hence he can build little protrusions, these zizin or platforms protruding from the roof that he of course is retaining. Rav Popa Omar, Shim Rotza Livnois Aliyo Al Gabo Boine. And Rav Popa said that that which he is retaining, or more accurately said, what is accomplished by adding this seemingly unnecessary clause, is that he is able to build a second story, an additional story, let's say, on the roof. V'i salka daitoch bistamo lo koni. If it is so, like Rav Dimi suggested, that in a sale that is done in an unspecified fashion, it's done in a stam general fashion, namely, I'm selling you a house, and when someone says, I'm selling you a house without any additional stipulations, the umka varuma is not included. If that be the case, then in a stam sale, that means the buyer doesn't get the rights to that which is on the roof. In other words, it should be obvious that the seller would be able to build an additional story on the roof. Lomo li almenas. What's the purpose of having stipulated, as Reish Lakish said in his din, well, I'm selling you this on condition that the Duta Elyona Shali. It's obvious that the Duta Elyona will be yours, and it's all the more obvious that you'll be able to build a second story on it. What could possibly be gained by teaching this din of Almanas Sheduta Elyona Shali? So what's implied by the question is that a stam sale in fact does include for the benefit of the buyer additional things. And that is not like Rav Dimi. The Gemara rejects the question and says, if you want to know what the almanas condition grants the seller when he says almanas sheduta elyona shali, ahani le, it has practical benefit for the seller. Ahani le almanas di nofil hodar boni lo, that if the roof and its fenced in area, the Duta Elyona, should cave in, he, by stipulating Almanas Sheduta Elyona Shli, will have the right to rebuild it. We'll take a look at the Rashbam. Hochi Garcina, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Di'i Nofla, Hodar Boni Lo. Li'oilom Mistamo Lo Koni Lokeach Ruma. That in a sale that's done without additional clauses, it's done in a stam fashion, the buyer does not get rights to that which is over the house, airspace rights. Udako amris yitur tino lomali. If the buyer doesn't get those rights anyway, so why did the seller have to stipulate anything? What does he gain by stipulating? He gets the seller keeps it anyway. Lahochi ahani. The benefit that the seller receives in adding this stipulation, the e nofla diuta, if the roof should cave in, hodar boni lo ukidapreciously ill. He would have the right to rebuild it, as the Rashbam explained earlier. The Rav Popa lav bebinyan al gabi diuta airi. Rav Popa, in truth, was not speaking about building a second story on top of the roof. True, that's the way we presented it in the Havamina, in the stage just before this. But the Rashbam is saying we're rejecting that approach, namely of building a second story on top of the roof. Elo bebinyan diuta atzma im tipoil. Rather, what Rav Popa meant to say is that if the seller, or by stipulating amanasha diuta onion shali, he gets rights. What are the rights that he gets? The right to rebuild a caved-in roof. With that, we now turn to the Mishnah. As we've said on previous occasions, this Mishnah is a continuation of the opening of the Perek. We're talking about a case of a fellow selling a house, and we're interested in knowing what is not included in the sale. We've written in lead-in words above the Mishnah here, Hamocher Sabayas, Lo Koleil, the one who sells a house does not include, and the Mishnah goes on to enumerate those things. Before we go any further, let us take advantage of one of the marvelous features of the marking system and the pre-marked Gemaras that we're all using in the Shas Ozer, and that's the Nosei, the topic heading. If you glance at the outside margin, you notice the Nosei, Hamocher es Habayis, Lo Mochar es Habor. One who sells a house does not include the existing bor that's in the house. Machlokis Rabbi Akiva v'chachomim legabi haderech labor. The Mishnah will feature a machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and the chachomim with regard to the path leading to the bor. Shel mihu? Who owns that? Once again, someone sold a house, retained for himself the pit. What about the rights, the access rights to the pit? So we turn again to the Mishnah. We said that one who sells a house, lo es habor, v'lo es hadus, af al pi shekosav lo umka v'ruma. V'tzorech likach lo derech, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who's the first opinion of Mishnah, says that the seller of the house has to, in fact, buy for himself, buy back, if you will, the path leading to the bor. The path leading to the bor goes through the house. So when he sold the house, including the floor space that formed the path to get to the bor. The Chachomim omrim, eino tzorech likach lo derech. The Chachomim disagree and say that when one retains the bor, he's retaining the pathway to the bor as well. Umoide Rabbi Akiva, bizman she'omar lo chutz me'elu, she'ein tzorech likach derech. One who's selling a house, who said, I'm selling you the house without the bor, and he says it specifically, I'm selling it without the bor. By adding that, which is really obvious, he was really adding to that which he's retaining. Namely, he's not retaining the bor, just the bor, but he's retaining for himself the path as well. And that's what the Mishnah just said, that in, under such circumstances where he adds this clause, he doesn't have to buy back the path. Notice in the Mishnah we've put a slash mark indicating a totally new thought. In this case, the totally new thought really is the opposite case of what we just described. Namely, we're talking now about a fellow who sells a pit and retains the house for himself. Mochron l'acher. fellow sold a boar or a deuce, and we might note that if you have access to the illustration book that accompanies Maseches Bava Basra, the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush, there's an illustration, number 558, that in which you can see the difference between a boar and a deuce. In fact, this will be the subject of discussion a little bit later in the Gemara itself. Continuing in the Mishnah, Mochrun le'acher, one who sold a pit or a deuce to someone else and retained for himself the house. The question now is the buyer of the pit. What about the pathway leading to the pit? Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Eino tzorech likach loy derech. The buyer does not have to buy the path. In other words, when he bought the pit, he bought the pit with the path. Or we can say the same thing from the seller's standpoint. When he sold the pit, he sold it together with the path. The Chachamim omrim tzorech likach loy derech. The Chachamim are of the opinion that one who bought the pit, nevertheless, he has to buy for himself on a separate transaction the path to his pit. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice new geometric forms. Geometric forms in the marking system, as has been mentioned in the past, represent something of a series or repetitive nature. In the marked Gemaras that appear on your screen, or many of you have already ordered your Shas Ozer Bava Basra, notice that the Gemaras feature topic headings and structural notes on the outside margin. Let's take advantage of what we have here. Nosei Mivneh, we notice the diamond form and a double underline. The note says Pa'amayim Mofia Oisa Sheila Voisa Tshuva Le'inyan Hakfilus BaMishnah Shekotoni Bor Vedus, means that twice, and that's these two diamonds, two times the same question and the same answer are going to appear regarding the need to teach the Bor and Dus, namely two examples of pits. Yosef Ravina v'ka kashilei. Ravina was sitting, and the following problem arose. Hainu bor, hainu dus. The Rashbam says, hainu bor v'hainu dus, eizehu bor v'eizehu dus. Halo ein heker bein ze lo ze, sheshnehem amukim bakarka. What is a bor, what is a dus? There doesn't seem to be any distinction between them. They're both forms of digging in the ground. V'yesh bohen mayim mechunasim, and they both serve as water storage facilities. V'lomali lemisni tarti, what do I gain by teaching two? Continuing in the Gemara, Omar le Rava toisfa the Ravina. Rava toisfa, that's his name, says to Ravina, toshma desanya, we bring a Tanaic source that will serve to demonstrate that they're not identical. The Tanaic source, as you can see, is represented by a frame around these two lines. In the marking system, framed sections represent Tanaic sources. It says, Echod habor ve'echod hadus bekarka. Both of these, whether it be a bor or a deuce, are both diggings into the ground. Elo shabor b'chafira vadus b'vinyon. The bor is dug in solid ground, and it's sufficient to simply dig, and the walls will naturally, walls of the pit will naturally stand. The dus, on the other hand, is dug into loose soil. Hence, in order to preserve its walls, one has to build brick or stone wall around the dug out area. That is a dus. The Rashbam adds a little more depth to the Gemara, and we can see that together toward the bottom, the Binyan. Chofrin bor be'ofor tichuach uboinin lo koisel avonim umikridus. One digs, who digs a bore in loose soil, that's ofor tichuach, builds a wall around the dugout entity, and the building of the stone wall creates a new name for this thing called dus. V'hilkoch e tana bor have amino. If I would have taught the case of the bor, I would have thought hanimili bor shu b'chafira. I would have thought that that which is not included in the digging is a bor, which is something simply dug. Aval dus shehu bebinyan, a dus which is something built, naming a stone wall is built around the walls. Ke'ein habayis, it's like a house. Just like a house is built with bricks and stones, this too is built with bricks and stones. Harehu b'chlal bayis, I would have thought that's included in the sale of the house. The itana dus. And if I would have taught just the case of dus as being something not included in the sale of the house, mishum debinyan b'fnei atzmo hu v'choshiv, it's a separate built structure and has its own inherent significance, and hence that would not be included in the sale of the house. Avo bor lo choshiv v'livtil gabi bayis. A bor, on the other hand, is something that's not important, and maybe it would be botel to the house and would be included in the sale. Tough. Therefore I have to teach both cases. Continuing in the Gemara, we'll now see, as we mentioned earlier, a repeat of what was just said. Yosef Rav Ashi the Kokashile Hainu Bor Hainu Dus. They seem to be the same. So what was the point of the Mishnah teaching both? Amale Mark Shisha Breder of Chizda Rav Ashi Toshma Desanya. He brings the following Tanaic source: Echad Habor VeEchad Hadus BeKarka Elosh Habor BeChafira VaDus BeBinyan. And we already saw the explanation to that in the Rashbam. The Gemara continues, Vitzorich likach lo derech, divrei Rabbi Akiva. We saw Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the Mishnah that the one who sold the house and retained the bor, he has to buy back a path to the... He has to buy back a path to the pit that he retained for himself. V'chachomim omrim eino tzorech. Why doesn't he have to buy back a path? Because he never sold it. In other words, according to the Chachomim, when he sold the pit in a limited fashion, namely just the pit. We continue in the Gemara by glancing first at the topic heading and structural note at the side. The Nosei Mivneh, we notice the volcano geometric form here. We're calling it a ma'akav. That means a device that we're going to use to follow the flow, the play-by-play of the Gemara. With the narrow part facing upwards, nisyonos limtso basis lefaresh machlokes Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim I mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher. We're going to try to find sources to explain the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and say that their machlokes is based on the idea of a seller selling ba'ayin yofe. That would be, according to Rabbi Akiva, sellers sell with a gracious mindset, namely more than one sees literally. In our case, I'm selling you a bor, but I'm selling you the pathway as well. That's called a mechir bayin yofeh. And the Chachamim say, no, that a person does not sell Ba'ayin Yofi, he sells rather Ba'ayin Ra'ah, with a limited mindset. So with the geometric form facing, with the narrow part facing up, these will be attempts to set up their machlokes Ayin Yofa versus Ayin Ra'ah. However, there will be rejections of these attempts along the way. So, as you can see, we have them numbered as well. This is as the, at the bottom line, we start this analysis, but it continues all the way down, Samach Dalad Omid Beis. The Gemara says, and we've written in a Girsa change based on the Bach, B'mai komifligi Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbonan. What is the basis of the machlokes between these two Tanoim? Gemara answers, B'ha komifligi de Rabbi Akiva savar mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher. In all sales, one sells with a Ayin Yofa, gracious mindset. The Rabbonon Savri Mocher Ba'ayin Ro'o Mocher. That sellers sell with a limiting mindset. Udeka Omar Nami Bi'almo, and that which is said in many other places in the Gemara. What do we find in many other places? And we have in quotation marks, Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that in other sugyas, that Rabbi Akiva, who says whatever he says in those particular sugyas, is based on his reasoning, based on his known opinion that a seller sells ba'ayin yofeh, mehocha. It's based on Rabbi Akiva in this Mishnah. Hence, this Mishnah would serve as the foundation for that approach to Rabbi Akiva, that a seller sells ba'ayin yofeh. The Rashbam gives us an example of the other topics that the Gemara just made reference to by saying that you see be'almo Rabbi Akiva holding ba'ayin yofeh. So we can glance at the Rashbam at the top line, Udo omar nami be'almo Rabbi Akiva l'tamei v'cholei klomar. Mide mukminon be'almo she'ar dine mechira detalu ta'amayu ba'ayin yofeh u'ba'ayin ro alibud Rabbi Akiva rabbonan. That which we set up other sugyas where the same machlokas appears between Rabbi Akiva and the rabbonan, kigon beperach cheskes abatim, a gemara that appeared in this masichta, de amoran mochar ilonos v'shier karka lefonav. A person who sold trees and retained the general field, plukta de Rabbi Akiva rabbonan, to the Rabbi Akiva yesh lo karka lebala ilan, that even though I sold what seemed to be just trees, I didn't sell just trees. I sold to the fellow who bought the trees the ground under the trees as well. You'll say, what practical difference is there? She'im yomu so'ilon yita achir bimkomo. If the tree dies, he'll be able to replant another tree in its stead. V'rabona l'rabona eimo. That one who sold trees, he sold just trees. He didn't sell any land, including the land under the trees. And according to the Rabbonan, if the tree dies, that's it. He wouldn't be able to replant a tree. The analysis that is being suggested is that, just like in the case of the trees, Rabbi Akiva is saying the buyer gets the land as well. That's a function of mechir ba'ayin yofeh. Just like here in the case where I sell the pit, I sell not just the pit, but the path to the pit as well. Or if I sell a house to someone and retain the pit for myself, I sold him the house. I sell with ayin yofeh means I sell him the house with the path to the pit as well. Hence, in such a case, according to this, I'd have to buy back the path to get to the pit that I retained. The Gemara continues and says, says that you can't really say that our Mishnah serves to illustrate a general principle of Lefi Rabbi Akiva, Mocher Bayin Yofe Mocher, and Lefi Lechachomim, Mocher Bayin Ro Mocher. The Gemara goes on. Mi Mai. Notice how the volcano form flipped over. This is a rejection of what we had suggested. Dilma Rabbi Akiva Sovar, Ein Odom Roitze Shiyitein Mo'oisov V'Yidrusuhu Achirim. If one paid money for a house and didn't buy the boor, in other words, the seller retained the boor for himself, but the one who bought the house doesn't expect someone else to trample through his house. He doesn't give money, pay money for a house, and expect others to trample through. That's the reason that the one who is retaining the boor does not get the path to the boor. But it's a local halacha. In other words, we can't use this Mishnah as an example to general cases of sales done with Ayin Yofe Lefi Rabbi Akiva. V'Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan in our Mishnah with regard to the pit, they hold Ein Odom Roitze Shi'itol Mo'ois V'Yifrach Ba'avir. Person who's selling the house, true, he's getting money for the house, but a person doesn't anticipate receiving money for the house and then expect to fly in the air to get to his pit. So that's the explanation for the Rabbonin over here, but not a general explanation that mechiros, that all sales are done v'ayin ra'ah. Well, the Gemara goes on in attempt to find what Mishnah, where in the Mishnah, or what Mishnah could serve possibly as a basis for explaining Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbonin using the analysis of Ayin Yofe versus Ayin Ra'ah. We saw the Reisha could not be used to serve as a general basis. And let me say for Mochron Liacher, a fellow sold a pit and kept for himself his house. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzorach Likach Loi Derech. The fellow who bought the pit does not have to buy a path to the pit. V'chachom Omer Tzorach. Oh, so what do we see from here? The fellow who bought the pit, he didn't buy just the pit. He bought the pit and the path to it. In other words, the seller sold more than the pit. He sold Ba'ayin Yofeh. He sold the pit and the path. And the Chachamim disagree. So from here we can see, possibly, a general principle. The Gemara once again rejects. Dilma beha pligi. It could be that this machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbonin, regarding the case of sales of pits, they're arguing in the following. Rabbi Kiva sovar, bosor daito delokeach azlinon. That the deciding mindset in transactions is the mindset of the lokeach, the purchaser. In this case, someone purchased a pit, so of course he purchases the access to his pit as well. V'rabbonan savri boser daito democher azlinon. And in this case, the mocher, the fellow who sold the pit, he retained the house. He's not interested in having other people trample through, so that's the local explanation as to why, according to the Rabbonan, the fellow who bought the pit doesn't get the path. But to use this as a basis for general cases of sales, that's Ayin Yofe versus Ayin Ro, we cannot say that this should serve as such a basis. V'ela meha. Notice we're up to attempt number 3. We're trying to find something in these Mishnayos that would suggest Shitas Rabbi Kiva is a general Shita of Mocher Ba'ayin Yofe Mocher. Where might we see this? We continue. This is a case, this Tanaic source is a case featuring someone who sold a field. And we say that in the sale of a field, Lo Esabor, Velo Esagas, these things are not included namely a pit, a press, loas hashovach, bird coops, bein charevin, bein yeshuvin, whether they be inhabited or uninhabited, charevin uninhabited, v'tzorech likach loy derech, divrei Rabbi Akiva. We just said a person sold a field, but he retained for himself, let's say, the boar. Oh, you retain for yourself the boar, but you'll have to buy a path. You have to buy back a strip of land, which would serve as a path to the boar that you retained. V'chachomim omrim eino tzorech. This would seem to be exactly the same as the case of the sale of a house where he retained the pit. Hasu lomali, what do I need this Mishnah for when I already had that in the case of Mocharas Abayis? Elolav, Hokamashmuan. Well, rather, it seems that the fact that the din is repeated in this second seemingly unnecessary example, it's coming to teach me a general principle. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Mocher Bayin Yofe Mocher, Verabonan Sabri, Mocher Bayin Roa Mocher. The Gemara rejects this too. The feeling in the rejection is that this is not an unnecessary example to teach me a general principle. Rather, I need this example specifically. It's here specifically not to teach me something general. V'dilmo ashmin and bias v'komashmalon sode utzricha. Could be that it's necessary to teach the case of sale of house and retains boar. And in addition, sale of field and retain boar. Utzricha. And I need both. The e ashmeinen. Notice we've used a squiggle underline here to highlight the expression e ashmeinen, if I would have told you just one, because we see this again in the next line. This way we accentuate both sides of the equation. We continue. The e ashmeinen bias, if I would have taught you just the case of the house. There, someone sold a house and retained for himself the path. He retained for himself the pit. There, mishum deboi tzniusa. The house is a place that private things take place. And as a result of that, so the halacha of the path is as such because of this privacy consideration. Avo sode, emolo. But in the case of a field, which is something out in the open, so the same consideration doesn't apply. We can take a look at the Rashbam in the middle of the wide section. Di ashmin and bias, velo ashmin and sode, havi amina. If I would have taught the case of the house and not the field, I might have thought hosam hu di omar Rabbi Akiva, tzorech likach loy derech min halokeach. The one who sold the house and kept for himself the pit, he has to buy a path. Mishum tainus Drisa, the fellow who bought the house doesn't want him trampling in, but why not? Mishum tsnius. I bought a house to do my private things in it. I don't expect someone to come trampling through to get to his pit. Klomar dehosam vada yeshlo tainas drisa. There, he certainly has a claim, namely the buyer of the house certainly has a claim of I don't want him coming trampling through. Mishum the adam oise besoch beso mili ditznius, a person does private things in his house. Veino rotsa shidrusu acherim. Avo gabi sode. But as a case, in the case of the field, where someone bought a field, and the seller retained the pit, modi lehu the rabbanon, maybe Rabbi Akiva would concede to the rabbanon, dein tzorch lamocher likach lo derech, that the seller doesn't have to buy a path to his pit that he retained. The lo mafsid lokeach midi bitrisasa shelzeh bisodehu. What kind of negative effects does the seller have by trampling through a field to get to a pit? To halekot snius of a sodeh, sheno asuyelo lecharishu zriya. The field is an open type of thing that's there for plowing, for planting, but not for private behavior. Hilkoch itzrich lemisni sodeh ashmina de besodeh nami poleg Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, it's necessary to teach the Sada, the case of the Sada, to tell me that in that case Rabbi Akiva would argue as well. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'yashmin and Sada. If we would have taught the case of Sada, namely, the seller would have to buy back a path to get to his pit. Mishum de koshi le davsha, the act of trampling itself is injurious to the plants that have been planted in the field. Hence, when one buys a field, there he got the field plus the strip of land that would lead to the seller's pit. Avo bias emolo, but in the case of the bias, this consideration of damaging the floor doesn't exist. So I would have thought that Rabbi Akiva would concede to the Rabbonan in such a case. All that having been said, we don't have an extra Tanaic source to serve as a basis for a general comment that Rabbi Akiva would hold Mocher Bayan Yofe Mocher and the Rabbonan hold Bayan Ro'ah. Up till now, we've seen specific cases and we've applied to each one specific explanations, but not a general principle. Elomi Seifa. The final clause of the case of selling fields, we have a different case. Fellow sold a pit and kept for himself the field. Mochron liacher. He sold the pit in a field. Sold the pit to someone. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzorach Likach Lo Derech. The one who bought the pit does not have to buy a path. The Chachomim Omrim Tzorach. Hasu Lamali Hainuach. What do I need this case for? This is the same as we've learned before. Elolav Hokom Ashmalan. From the extra Mishnah, we can discover the following principle. The Rabbi Akiva Sava Mocher Bayan Yofe Mocher, Rabbonan Savri Mocher Bayan Ro'o Mocher Shma Mino. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.